Penguin Random House Audio presents This is not a book about Benedict Cumberbatch. The joy of loving something, anything, like your life depends on it. By Tabitha Carvin. Read for you by Tanya Schneider.
For the Girls at the Concerts. The names and personal details of some people in this book have been changed at their request. Preface. What are you thinking about? I am thinking about Benedict Cumberbatch. Even right now, cheekbones, writing this, green, blue, grey eyes, I am, tight trousered thighs, thinking about, mouth, Benedict Cumberbatch. I'm writing this between thoughts of Benedict Cumberbatch, and I'm writing this under photos of Benedict Cumberbatch, including that Vanity Fair cover where he has one arm behind his head and the other tugging at the waistband of his trousers. It is the most horizontal that a man could look in a vertical portrait. The photographer, my stand-in, is surely straddling him. I am writing this from inside Benedict Cumberbatch. His face on a hoodie my husband ordered from the internet for my Christmas present, and which I put on every morning as I tiptoe out of the bedroom to come here. Do you know how many Benedict Cumberbatch hoodies there are on the internet? My husband asked me, eyebrow raised after I unwrapped it. Yes, I do. 3,803. That's a lot of people inside Benedict Cumberbatch. What are we all doing in there? What am I doing in the spare room, lit only by the laptop's false dawn, while my family sleeps? Why am I, a wife and mother, creeping off in the dark to think about celebrity thighs? Why am I, a grown woman, sticking up pictures of a heartthrob on my wall? Not even in nice frames, but torn out of magazines and stuck on with blue tack. It will ruin the paint with greasy stains, like the join-the-dots pattern I left behind on the walls of my teenage bedroom. Why do I use my precious scraps of free time to watch GIFs animate on a loop, like they're not actually a slightly moving image, but a full-length feature movie? A really amazing movie, because I reach the climax every 2 seconds, that same moment, over and again, when a man I don't know takes off his scarf. 5 stars, would do again, and again, and again so many more times that I forget to take the bread out of the freezer for school lunches. Later, as I manhandle the contorted, icy wads into lunchboxes, I'll tell the kids I'm sure it will be fine by lunchtime. Will it be fine? Not the sandwiches. No, they definitely won't. But all of it. Me. Will I be fine? I seem to be on the verge of something not right. Whatever this is, it isn't me. Soon I'll look straight at the camera and say, "What have I become?" I'll snap out of it. I'll grow up. I'll get to work repainting my walls. I'll say, "Remember the time I was totally obsessed with Benedict Cumberbatch? What was the deal with that?" And everyone will laugh, and then I will make the school lunches properly. But my story doesn't seem to be ending this way. Instead of coming to my senses, I come back to the spare room, the photos, the gifts, the cheekbones. This is very bad news, because I know the only other way the story can end. I embarrass myself. And I am. I'm embarrassing myself, and I'm probably embarrassing you too, with my words like trousers and horizontal. Benedict Cumberbatch himself will be embarrassed. Not to mention, what does your husband think about all this? It's true this doesn't feel like me. Not the me I thought I knew anyway. I have never felt so good. Part 1. Cumberbatched. Chapter 1. This is a chapter about mothers. Oh, you won't know what's hit you, The thing about Benedict Cumberbatch is he's ready when you are. He's a gentleman. After you, ladies first. While it's uncomfortable for me to admit it, Benedict Cumberbatch was standing there holding the door open for me for a very long time. It's not that I didn't notice him, because I absolutely did. During the height of global Cumbermania, circa 2012 to 2014, it was impossible not to. His strange name. His strange face. Sherlock was one of the most watched shows in the world. I remember a phone conversation with my mother, who said Benedict Cumberbatch looked like the underside of a stingray. Along with his dark, Byronic Sherlock Holmes, he was a jowly blonde Yorkshireman in the Tom Stoppard miniseries Parade's End, a ginger secret homosexual with ready access to a hair straightener in Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, a hapless but singing Oklahoman in August Osage County, the nice slave owner in 12 Years a Slave, the bad guy in Star Trek Into Darkness, Alan Turing in The Imitation Game, Julian Assange, I shit you not, in The Fifth Estate, and Smaug, a dragon, in The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug. He famously mispronounced penguin as penguin, and it went viral. He photobombed U2 at the Oscars, and that went viral. He inspired the creation of the online Benedict Cumberbatch name generator. Benadryl Cuckoo Clock, Bento Box Cuttlefish, Burger King Scratch and Sniff. Honestly, this should just be the rest of the book. And even that went viral. He appeared on the cover of Time magazine's Genius issue. There was a poem about him in the London Review of Books. He even featured in a New Yorker cartoon. A pregnant woman is receiving an ultrasound that reveals a cheerful man smiling away in her womb. Oh, don't worry, the sonographer says. That's Benedict Cumberbatch. He's in everything. And during all of this, the extent of my thoughts on Benedict Cumberbatch was, oh, that guy again? In every role, he somehow appeared to be a completely different person, clearing all the data I'd been collecting on what he actually looked like. Every camera angle would reveal a new, planed surface of him, which I could never compose into a whole. Now I discuss with other people, many times, their favourite Benedict Cumberbatch parts. Not the parts he plays, you understand. His actual parts. There are the cheekbones, obviously, the nape of his neck, the cupid's bow of his lip. One woman tells me it's very difficult for her to choose only one and considers her answer for a very long time. She says she believes she could recognise Benedict Cumberbatch from any disembodied fragment of him, although I might struggle with his ears. I have done an online quiz where you match screenshots of Benedict Cumberbatch's hair with the Sherlock episode it appears in, so I could probably do this too. Finally, she settles on her favourite part, the gap between his thumb and forefinger. Ah, yes, I say, nodding. That's a really good bit. I know it well. Benedict Cumberbatch could bring his thumb and index finger together to show you how small it was, the moment in time that tipped me over from when I couldn't look at him properly to when I couldn't stop looking. Somewhere in that beautiful gap, something changed. He'd been waiting for that moment, uncomplaining, of course, until I was ready. He held the door open and I walked through. Maybe I brushed against him as I passed. Why not? He's got lots of great parts, after all, and you can do what you want in a metaphor. But this is what that moment actually looked like. Benedict Cumberbatch is wearing a top hat and pulling on a leather glove. He is in an advertisement for the Victorian-themed Sherlock special. The advertisement is in a newspaper, which is lying open on a table in a cafe, which is where I'm waiting for my takeaway coffee. I am drinking coffee because, for the first time in 1,000 years, I am neither pregnant nor breastfeeding. I see the ad and I experience a surprising feeling of yearning. I look at that picture, into those eyes that are too far apart on Benedict Cumberbatch's head, and yet somehow also perfect, and I think, yeah, I reckon I'd like to watch that show. I'm sorry this story about such a moment.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?